May it please the Court, on behalf of Damon Hill. Your Honor, I'm well aware of the Court's recent rulings in Cunningham and others regarding 3582 motions, and specifically that the Court is not required to have a hearing. And I raise that issue for preservation purposes here. However, in this case, we have a little different circumstances because though admittedly the petition filed with the Court was a basic petition, one that was being filed readily out of our office and accepted by the Court at that time, early on in the 3582 series and still ongoing, the Court in this case had previously imposed the high end of a guideline sentence. The Court gave the defendant the 2 points off for the crack amendments. The defense requested a 70-month sentence. Now we're just talking with the exclusion of the 924C, which stays the same with the 60 months on top of that. But we requested a low-end sentence from the Court at the time of resentencing. The Court rejected that request, and in the Court's order, in essence, it indicated that it had previously imposed a high-end sentence and it was going to impose a high-end sentence again. We raised this issue recognizing that we're really not talking about a sentence below the two-level guideline. So in some senses, rulings like Cunningham really have little application here. But under 3582, the statutory provision itself, the language indicates that the Court must consider 3553A in determining the appropriate sentence. The government's argument in their brief suggests, well, the Court did that in the original sentencing hearing, recognizing that, in fact, the guidelines were advisory. Well, the district court did use the words that it recognized that the guidelines were advisory in April of 2005 when it imposed sentence against Mr. Hill. But the Court also went on, and I would note this is at page 39 of the sentencing transcript, and stated, the Court finds no reason to depart from the sentence called for by the application of the guidelines, inasmuch as the facts, as found, are the kind contemplated by the Sentencing Commission. Thus, in April of 2005, prior to Rita, prior to Gall, prior to Spear, the district court in this case, was still imposing a sentence with a presumption that the guidelines would apply. And only when a significant basis for a, quote, departure from the guidelines would be imposed or would be found, would the court impose a lesser sentence. Therefore, the government's argument is misplaced in this case, that Mr. Hill actually in 2005 received a fair and full sentencing hearing. He did not. He received a sentencing hearing based on the court's misunderstanding at that point of what it meant to give a hearing under 3553A. Therefore, we have challenged the court's ruling in this case denying a 70-month sentence without further explanation from the court. Had the court had a sentencing hearing in this case, we may very well have enough of a record to understand why an 87-month sentence is required rather than a 70-month sentence being sufficient but not greater than necessary under 3553A. And therefore, that is the question that we've raised with the court. Even under, if we look to Gall in this case, Gall makes clear that the presumption of reasonableness in a guideline sentence only applies when the court follows the requirements of 3553A. Here, even though the court does reference some of the provisions of 3553A, it only does so in terms of listing them. There is no meaningful discussion whatsoever of the circumstances in this case. And even though the petition in this case was somewhat bare bones, that petition was accompanied by not only the old pre-sentence report in this case, but also the addendum to the pre-sentence report, which outlined that Mr. Hill had, though he'd had a couple of infractions while in the Bureau of Prisons, had been engaged in educational opportunities. So in this case, there was information which the court had before it. A sentencing hearing certainly would have flushed out the court's reasoning, if nothing else. But the boilerplate order issued in this case, which gives no significant and meaningful discussion of why an 87-month sentence is appropriate and not a 70-month sentence, both guideline sentences in this case, requires remand for further explanation from the court. And again, it's under 3582 that specifically references the court's consideration of the 3553A factors. It's important to note that in the court's order, the first statement that the court makes is that a sentence at the high end of the guidelines is sufficient to reflect the seriousness of the offense. The court then goes on to list the other factors and say it also adequately takes these into account, again with no meaningful discussion. What's important about that is if the court were to go back to the original sentencing hearing in this case, the entirety of the court's focus on sentence was the seriousness of the offense. The court did not give any lip service even to those other factors, such as the lack of criminal record in a very long period of time and other things brought up by defense counsel. So under these circumstances, we would ask the court to remand and ask the court to describe its reasons for denying the 70-month request from the defense and to explain its reasons that the court concluded that an 87-month sentence in this case was appropriate.
And Mr. Lanter, welcome back again.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Did you two guys share a cab up here?
We should have. It's the government's position that in this case, at the original sentencing hearing, the district court knew that the guidelines were advisory and adequately considered the 3553 factors. At the original sentencing hearing in April of 2005, the district court repeatedly indicated that he knew the guidelines were advisory. At the beginning of the hearing, quote, "I understand the guidelines are only advisory." He further stated, quote, "The court further understands that a result of the Supreme Court decision on Booker, the guidelines are only advisory." Thereafter, Damon Hill's counsel argued that Hill had little criminal history. He was hardworking, took care of his children, had been gainfully employed, and helped out with the daycare facility. After hearing all of the defense counsel's reasons for a downward, for a non-guideline sentence, the district court considered them and rejected them. The district court said, I understand the guidelines are only advisory. The district court then said, in this case, I think they're somewhat lenient, and recounted the district court's disturbance with the seriousness of the offense in this matter, two firearms being involved, 15 grams of crack involved, a straw purchase of a firearm that the defendant later instructed the person who straw purchased it for him to try to recover from the Gary Police Department. And importantly, the district court found that the defendant had absolutely no remorse, believed that he perjured himself at trial, and believed also that he was lying to the district court judge in his comments at sentencing. The district court referenced all of the 3553 factors. The district court stated, "We talk about remorse in this case, and I don't see any of it. I don't see you stepping up to the plate and admitting to any of this. You keep giving the same story." And he indicated that he believed the defendant was lying to him at the sentencing. He addressed the seriousness of the drug and firearms offenses, and after all, considering all of the 3553 factors, gave a sentence at the maximum of the guideline range of 87 months imprisonment. Fast forward 3 years later, a bare-bones petition for a crack amendment reduction is filed, in which the defendant gives absolutely no reason or justification for asking for a sentence at the minimum of the guidelines, even though the defendant had previously received a sentence at the maximum of the guidelines. The government filed a response asking for a sentence at the maximum because, number one, the court had previously sentenced to the defendant of the maximum of the guideline range after consideration of the 3553 factors. Number two, the defendant's perjuring himself at trial. Number three, the defendant's conduct in prison, for which he was sanctioned for fighting, sanctioned for being in an unauthorized area, and sanctioned for declining a staff representative after he'd been sentenced. And then the court, after that, ruled that a sentence at the maximum of the new guideline range with a two-level reduction was reasonable under all of the circumstances. the court indicated it's adequately taken into account the nature and circumstances of the offense, the history of the characteristics of the defendant, including the defendant's conduct while incarcerated. The district court did not address any of the current counsel's reasons for a sentence at the minimum because, quite simply, no reasons were given. And it's the government's position that not even Rita requires a district court to scour a pre-sentence report looking for reasons for a non-guideline sentence when none are given by the defense counsel. I believe it's the court's job to independently consider the case to come up with a fair and reasonable sentence, and that's what the district court did in this case.
We know we have Rita as guidance, but certainly if the court had put a little more meat on the bones, we might not even be here today. I mean, giving a little more explanation rather than just sort of quoting the statutory language and hitting those factors.
That's correct. I believe the district court could have given more explanation. However, when the defense counsel gives no reason for a sentence at the minimum when the maximum had previously been given, there's really nothing, not a whole lot to explain. And the court did indicate that specifically referenced the defendant's conduct while incarcerated. So it's not as though it did not take a look at what was going on in this case and engaged in just a mechanical application right. of a two-level reduction.
Yeah, and this is a little unique because he's coming back and it's a second bite.
That's correct,
Your Honor. It's a little unique. I just raised it because I understand you can hit
absolutely.
The bare minimum and meet the test in Rita. But, you know, I think sometimes putting a little more meat on the bones would eliminate some of these issues coming up, period.
I agree 100%. And that's why, I mean, the government had indicated in its response a number of reasons why it believed a sentence at the maximum was appropriate in this case. I think one thing that's key in this case, however, is that at the defendant's original sentencing, it was a full 3553 sentencing hearing where there was a lot of explanation of all the factors. So unless there are any questions, I yield the rest of my time.
Anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay, we'll proceed then. Take the case under advisement.